Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome, folks, to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, and I am the humble co-host here, and Chicken Joe, as in Joe Barber, is our main host.
Yeah, I'm here. This is Country Joe Chicken Show. I'm Joe Barber.
Yeah, and we have today with our first guest is Roger Sipe, and he is the editor of Chicken Magazine. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Roger.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, Roger. Joe.
Okay.
I know you have a ton of questions.
I do, Roger. Of course, naturally, I get your magazine every time it comes out. But my first big question is, are you going to make this a monthly magazine?
We don't have any plans for that at the moment. That's something we would definitely be considering down the road at some point. But right now, it's a bi-monthly every other month, and it's doing well and holding its own. So,
So it's a fairly new. This is an offshoot from Hobby Farms, isn't it?
Yeah, Hobby Farms is our flagship of our what we call just our country division. Basically, we have Hobby Farms, and then a couple of years after Hobby Farms came out, we had Hobby Farm Home, and then Chickens and Urban Farm both started around 2010.
Okay, because I know the chickens. Once the Chicken Magazine came out, like everybody around that I know that was in the chicken said, "Hey, there's a new Chicken Magazine now," and so I went to get the magazine and really really enjoy it because you do a lot on the rare chickens, which I really love the rare chickens, and you showed me a lot of chickens in there that I actually went out and got. From that magazine. Yeah, so I really enjoy that, the whole section in the front. Every time the magazine comes out, you have all 3-4 pages. And what I like is the story about it. You explain it and why they're rare and where they come from and that sort of thing. And that's really, really enjoyable. That's, of course, I like the rare chicken, so I'm kind of soft on that way. So I'd like to see you do something on the other deal because we do have rare turkeys, and I do love my turkeys. Are you going to be or planning on doing anything with turkeys?
We did an article, I want to say last year we did, we had a series called In Addition to Chickens because we were getting requests from people about different type of birds to include into their flock. And we thought, you know, of course, with Thanksgiving in November, we thought with our November-December issue that we would do a profile on turkeys. We might come back around to that later this year or next year or something. And like you said, maybe focus more in on the rare breeds of turkeys. Yes. But we also have a series of, we call them one-shots. Basically, they come out just once and they stay on the newsstand the whole year. It's called the it's a Hobby Farms Presents, basically. And we've done a whole entire issue on turkeys. So,
oh, really?
Which is always, yeah, which is really popular.
So. Yeah, I guess I missed that. I just picked up the latest one here, and I was going through it. And I read these things cover to cover because I just enjoyed my chickens. But I just love the big colored pictures that you have on all the chickens. And you were the one, I guess, originally where I first got a good look at the red cap chickens, the really rare chickens. And those are my next favorite that I'm going to get. But I really enjoy how you guys, you know, get these pictures, and they're big pictures, and talk about them. That's my big thing here. You know, like your article in this month's called Fancy That, the Ornamental Chickens.
Do you have a special photographer to get those photographs, Roger?
We don't. We use a lot of freelance photographers who work also for hobby farms and stuff like that. And we basically just tell them what breeds we're covering in upcoming issues. And they either have stock photos of those breeds or they'll go out and shoot special ones for us. A lot of times, too, we'll just use kind of a generic photo of a chicken, which is why we don't label the breed names on most of the pictures, because a lot of the times, you know, I'm not an expert as far as IDing chickens, and it's really difficult, you know, when you, if you, unless you're like a poultry judge or something like that. So I don't want to mislabel something. And a lot of times they're mixed breed chickens too. So
right, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I can't even identify all the chickens that are out there. But it's really fun how you get into things like brooding and hatching, and that is really interesting. I was just looking at your article in this last issue, and you really get into detail. So, I mean, you make it easy for people. That's what I like.
Yeah, is your magazine meant for people who are new to chickens, or you know, longtime chicken people like Country Joe here, or everybody in between?
Well, we're trying to please everyone, so we don't want to make it too technical where it's over most people's heads, but we also don't want to dumb it down too much where people who have had chickens for a number of years don't just read it and think, well, gosh, I already know all this information. So, and you know, this is our next year will be our fifth year, and we're really trying to get writers now to give us topics that we haven't covered before or new ways to write about them, you know, not just build your own your brooder, but tips and stuff for making it a little bit more efficient and things like that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that. You get quite a variety in the magazine from soup to nuts, from coops and the whole gamut here. That's what I'm finding interesting. And it's really, you know, like put your poultry to work article, you know, about putting them in the gardens and eating. And you also give a list of the poisonous plants, which I found highly interesting. There's a lot of plants in here that grow down here that I didn't realize were poisonous to chickens, like broccoli. I was, you know, looking at that and going, whoa, that sort of thing. And, you know, I was going to some, a lot of them I knew, but there was a lot that I didn't know. And that's what I find interesting is you get right into that sort of thing. And, of course, I don't let my chickens free range. They're cage-free. They're in a giant coop, 80 feet long. But I don't let them – so I don't worry too much about them getting all of these type of plants like morning glories and tulips and tobacco and all that other stuff. But boy, it's interesting. I mean, because I feed my chickens a lot of produce, like lettuce and cabbage and the whole thing. We have a organic farmer up the road, and you know, when he doesn't sell it or whatever, he brings it down to me by the tractor load. But the broccoli's the one that threw me. I went, whoa.
And now anybody who has just a few chickens in their yard will know not to let their children feed the broccoli they don't want to eat to the chickens.
Yeah. But, boy, there's just so much. That's what I really enjoy this magazine, because you really get into the nitty-gritties. The easy – and like I say, when – I've had chickens for many, many years, and there's still – you learn every day, and that's what I really like. And it's a lot of things that maybe I knew that I've forgotten that you bring back in the magazine. So that's what I really like.
Yeah, that's one of the difficulties as far as with the magazine is continuing – coming up with new article ideas, because when they brought the magazine to me a couple of years ago, said they were launching it, and basically I was the person in the company. I grew up on a small farm in Indiana, and they're like, hey, you're from farm breed, so why don't you take this magazine? And I was like, well, yeah, I could do one magazine, but gosh, you know, we started out as a quarterly, so four times a year. I'm like, why? Well, I guess I can come up with some ideas. And then quickly we went to six times a year, because they were just basically flying off the shelves. And every issue we just keep finding new interesting topics. And like you said, covering topics that people know about, but then maybe they can find new things about them, which is pretty interesting. So,
yeah. All right, guys, we are just about out of time for this segment. Roger, will you stick with us?
Sure.
We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show, and we are talking with Roger Sipe, who is the editor of Chicken Magazine. And it's funny, you said at first you weren't sure how you were going to figure out how to do more than one magazine, and here you are, what, 4.5 years later?
Yeah. So we put together maybe 20 or 25 issues so far. So, and there's ideas just keep coming in all the time.
It's true, and I really like your health issues on chickens, the things to look for, you know, all the common diseases and vitamin deficiencies and all that sort of thing. All of those things, like, you know, but you kind of like forget or whatever. And I keep these magazines as reference. I go back and into these magazines all the time, and I think I've got them right back to your first issue, because I'm always looking for these magazines, and I really, really like it when you explain the disease, and so everybody can understand it, sort of thing. It's not, you know, where a doctor has got to explain it to you what's going on, but you cover everything, like I say, from the coops to diseases, to predators, the whole thing here. It's really, really interesting. And I think there's so much more. I mean, I could think of a lot of things, you know, to tell you, hey, let's do one on this or let's do one on that.
That's right. If you're ever stuck for ideas, you ought to just contact Joe, because he's got all sorts of questions in his head. And of course, do you feature a different rare chicken each month, or a series of different rare chickens each time?
Well, we have a column called Poultry Profiles, and we basically profile five different breeds in each column, and we stick with mainly the heritage breeds, and because when we started out, we kind of did the most common ones, and now, I don't know, we've covered maybe 75 breeds or something like that, so we're trying to work our way through it. We also have a sister publication that just what we call, like I said, a one-shot. It's specifically about chicken breeds. It's just called Chicken Breeds Popular Farming Series is what it is, and it lists about 100 to 150 breeds. Some of them are American Poultry Association, have been recognized by the APA, and some of them, of course, have not. But there's way too many chicken breeds out there to cover in a short period of time.
But I also noticed in this magazine, you also have a cookbook in the back where you get all kind of chicken recipes every time. Wow, that's interesting too. That's I find that. So you got a really good variety going on in this magazine, in pictures of the dishes that you do and the whole thing. And then you get into, you know, profit, you know, from poultry, meat and eggs and the whole thing, you know, telling people how to get going, selling eggs and whatnot. That's interesting too. It's quite you got it all going here by the looks of the whole thing. And like I say, I've got most of your magazines, but I'd like to see them. I just expand just a little bit in the end of the turkey thing. And I see you do a little bit here in this magazine. You got free ranging turkeys out here and pictures of them, and that's pretty interesting in one of your articles.
Now, if our listeners have not run across your magazine, Roger, how do people find it? Do you have a website, or where is it, on newsstands, or how would people get a copy of Chicken Magazine, besides wresting it from Joe's fingers?
Right now, we're just sold on the newsstand. We don't offer subscriptions because it costs a lot of money to move to that, and we're not quite ready to do that just yet. But you can just go to our website, which is www.chickensmagazine.com, and it's part of the Hobby Farms website. And from there, you can get information, or you can also go to a website called wheresmymagazine.com, and you can just type in your location and the magazine you're looking for, which is chickens, and it'll tell you where it's available in your area. So,
Yeah, I get mine at the newsstand, but you know, like you say, I didn't know how often it comes out. I'm always looking for it, and that's why I was wondering. I knew there was no subscription to it, and I kept thinking, how come? So now you answered that question for me.
Yeah, of course we have a Facebook page too. If people want to go there, and when a new issue comes out, we let you know on Facebook, and people can leave comments and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's good. Where is your Facebook page so that I can explain to Joe after the show how to point to that? So
yeah,
is it just Facebook?
Yeah, it's Facebook.com/. I can't remember what it is. Chickens Mag, MAG.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, so Joe doesn't have.
Yeah, Facebook.com/ chickens with plural with S and then MAG, and that'll take you to our Facebook page.
And that way Joe doesn't have to bug the owner of his newsstand saying, where's the next copy? Where's the next copy? He can just check that and see if there's a new one out yet.
It's fun. It's fun, going through this, and the pictures are just beautiful that you have in here. And I guess the illustrations that you get by this Diane Jackie, I guess that's she's really, really good. I guess these are her drawings or whatever from these chickens.
Yeah. Like I said, it's hard to get photos, at least, really on a tight time constraint and stuff, that accurately depict what the chickens are like. So she does such great illustrations. I can tell her which chicken I want, and she'll draw me up a picture and showing all the proper size and all that stuff. So
very interesting.
That's one, as someone who, believe it or not, my degree is in illustration. That's one advantage of illustrators, in that you can show more detail often in an illustration than you can get out of a photograph, particularly of a living, breathing critter who, chickens aren't known for sitting when you say sit.
That's true. Yes, that's true. But, boy, I tell you, you got it all covered here. I really enjoyed this, looking at a lot of these illustrations are just so beautiful. They're almost, could cut them out and frame them.
Now, Roger, as you're not a chicken person yourself, though you grew up on a farm, what has been the most interesting thing you've learned in the process of doing Chickens Magazine?
Just that there's so many people out there right now with chickens. When we first started it, I just contacted a bunch of my writers, because I also work on Urban Farm Magazine, and I've worked on different other magazine topics in the past, and I just sent a blank email out saying, hey, if any of you guys have chickens and want to write for a new magazine, and I got maybe 15 or 20 of them said, hey, I've had chickens for 10 years or 5 years or something like that.
Yeah, well, you're finding out a lot of people have chickens that you don't even know have chickens until you start talking about chickens. That's what I found. People, it doesn't matter if they're in a city or where, they've all got chickens tucked away here. And that's what I find so fascinating.
And later in the show, we're going to have on Pat Forman from the Occupy Backyard movement. Mm. So there'll be more chickens in backyards across the country soon.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, Roger, I like is how you list the chickens as critical breeds, the threatened breeds, the breeds that are under watch, recovering, and that sort of thing. I find that really interesting. And of course, it just draws me to the critical chickens all the time. But I just love how you set that up. It's just really, really great. You can go right to it, and see who's doing what. And the ornamental chickens, boy, those illustrations are just beautiful. I was just looking at those game hens. Wow. That's really interesting. So you got any other ideas coming out for any future magazines that we should know about or be looking for?
Right now we're working on our July-August issue of chickens, and we're going to be covering some health topics like bumblefoot, and we have a bunch of recipes in this issue, and we're going to be talking about the Slow Food Arc of Taste. It's an organization that they put together a bunch of threatened breeds out there, and poultry are included, and of course, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy is involved in that, too, so we're going to be covering that. and some DIY, you know, do it yourself, how to build a water for your coop and things like that. So that's coming out, you know, probably in late June. So we're looking forward
Excellent.
To that.
You know, we are out of time. Roger, will you come back with us some other time?
Certainly. Just give me a call.
All right. You've been listening to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at natureslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, and we have with us, Joe, our next guest is Jim Meyer, and his product is Night Guard.
Yes, and I want to talk a lot about that with you, seeing how I have a lot of chickens, and I spotted your ad in a magazine, and there isn't a person in my little valley down here that has chickens that couldn't use this, and I've talked to different people about it, and they went, no, tell me about it. So I was telling them that you were going to be on the show, and they all said, wow, okay, because just a matter of fact, for myself, I just lost at least 13 hens last week due to predators.
Really?
Yep, and it's a nightly thing with me. I set up the catch 'em alive traps, and I'll get 2 coon a night, a possum. My neighbor down the road just caught a bobcat the other night, and we have plenty of problems. And what they do is they pull them through the cages. A lot of the chickens won't roost like you think they roost at night. A lot of them
won't.
Right. And, of course, being down here in Central Florida, they it's warm at night. It's in the mid-60s at night. So they'll rest against the outside of the coop cage.
Oh,
and,
right.
And the coons will, and the possums, too, will pull them through the wire.
Yeah,
and everybody.
I think we can not only help you, but anybody else that's listening that's having those same kind of problems. I think we can help everybody a little bit here. So,
Why don't you describe what your product is
and how it works?
Well, Karen, it might be important that I give you just a little bit of background first of what I've been doing most of my adult life here. I have a commercial pheasant raising operation. It's a game bird. We have a hatchery here, and we actually hatch almost 300,000 pheasants every year, and I've done this most of my adult life.
Wow.
So I really am familiar with predation. Our farm is called Oakwood Game Farm. I own that business in addition to Night Guard Solar. And we developed this light. I really invented it just out of pure frustration, because there's so many animals now, particularly raptors, great horned owls, and hawks. They're federally protected, as most folks know. You can't do anything about them. You can apply for depredation permits, but it takes a long, long time, and oftentimes it's an unsuccessful effort. So the bottom line really was for me and for others, once this happened about, I guess it's been maybe about 12 years ago, once these federal restrictions came out on hawks and owls, it just left a blank check for those animals. There was no way to control them. So I developed, over many years, prototypes addressing this issue. I knew that there was nothing I could do short of stopping them. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't trap them. I couldn't do anything in that regard. So I had to find something that worked. And long, long story short, I had an idea that a flash of light, not a steady light, but a flash of light did have an impact on these raptor animals. And we discovered after testing this thing on our own farm and then started to roll it out in a testing nature across the country, that a flash of light did indeed stop these animals. But we also discovered, as we went along, it not only stopped owls and hawks, but every night animal out there shared the same fear of this flash. All night animals have that same fear of being discovered or being watched. That's why they hunt after dark.
Right.
And that was the commonality with all these animals, and that's why now, after all these prototypes and all these many years of testing night guard in every kind of climate, every kind of extreme weather condition, we've come up with a product that will stop these animals.
Okay. Now, how many would you need on a particular coop or whatever? Like, for instance, I have 8 coops, and a lot of them are very large. They're 80 feet long. Would that cover the whole length of it?
There's two ways that you can mount night guards that we encourage people to think about. One is called a cluster mount. That's where you mount 4 units on one post. You put it eye level with the animals you're trying to stop, approximately eye level.
Right.
And then you put one facing each of the 4 directions. That gives you coverage north, south, east, and west, or 360-degree coverage, and really reaching out considerable, up to a quarter mile away.
Oh,
so
wow.
The range of night guard is considerable, and we do encourage people to think about protecting all 4 directions.
Yes, definitely, because you don't know where they're coming from.
Well, and they don't give up, Joel. They don't. Yeah. These animals are very determined. They have nothing better to do than figure their next meal out. So
right.
They're not going to give up. If they see a threat coming at them, which the flash is, and by the way, this is not motion activated. The unit turns on. The solar panel is designed to not only gather energy from sunlight or daylight, but it also is designed to turn on at low light or dusk and then shut off at full daylight. So you stop the animals at a distance. The instant they see the flash, they stop, and they couldn't be 400, 500, 600 yards away when this happens.
Okay. Now, so this thing flashes periodically, off and on.
It flashes about twice every second, so it's a pretty rapid flash. It's flash, 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 flash. Mm-hmm. A steady light doesn't do it. It has to be a flash of light, and incidentally, contrary to what folks think about animals and color blindness, and I too have thought that for many, many years, we tested every light spectrum, if you will, blue, green, the whole bit. And red was always consistently more effective than any of the others. So we found that very interesting.
Yes. So they aren't colorblind. That's interesting. Now, I notice in here they sell for right around $20, right, a piece?
They do, yeah. They're $19.95, mm-hmm. Very affordable. Mm-hmm. You know, there was 3 things that we thought about as we went through our journey of testing and building prototypes, and that was we wanted to make it energy efficient. So we felt solar was important to us. That is the energy of the future. This makes it very portable. You can take it out in a very remote area, and it'll hold up well. We also wanted to make it weatherproof. We wanted to make it the kind of product that could work in our part of the world. We're in Minnesota. It flashes to 25 below zero. On the other end, 3 digits of heat, 115 above, rain, snow, sleet. It's completely weatherproof. And the third thing is we wanted to make it affordable. We wanted to make it so, you know, everybody could afford to buy this.
Right.
So we achieved all three of them things, and it was a struggle to be able to sell it at $19.95. But I'll tell you, when we sell them to people, they become our best salesmen, because nothing is 100%, and our product isn't either, because animals are too unpredictable. But 8 out of 10 people have success with night guards.
Wow, and that's funny that you say that, because all of my neighbors, of course, you know, people that around here have chickens by the hundreds besides me, and they're always saying, well, Joe, why don't you get one first? I'm always like,
well, Joe, why don't you get one first?
Yeah,
no, we
try.
Understand the skepticism. We understand that, because let's face it, there's a lot of stuff out there, and there's other products, you know, that do a good job, too, of repelling animals. But so many of them have two faults, we think. One, they're motion activated, which means the animal has to come up close enough where they're kind of where they already want to be, you know, especially like deer, which are very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the motion activated was very important, and of course the solar was important. But we understand the skepticism, and we have an absolute money-back guarantee. So if folks try the unit and it doesn't work for them, we promise them they'll get every nickel back. We're a family-owned business, and we don't want anybody out there with night guards that are not being helpful to them.
Well, we are out of time for this segment. Will you come back with us?
Absolutely. I'm sorry I burnt that time up so quick. But,
I'm a green chicken.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now we have with us, our guest is Jim Meyer, and his product is called Night Guard, and I know that's N-I-T-E guard, not like the night guard you have, well, you know, when you have braces when you're a kid. Now, Jim, did you have a website you wanted to tell folks about?
I do, and it's real simple, Karen, nightguard.com, and again, N-I-T-E, nightguard.com.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were mentioning that it will repel deer, as well as we've mentioned raptors, you know, hawks and owls and raccoons. Now, it does repel deer, too, so people could use this for their gardens?
Does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. As I mentioned, it really is designed to repel all night animals, and I know that's quite a broad statement to make. But remembering that all night animals share the same deep fear, and that's of being discovered or being watched. Mm-hmm. That's why they hunt after dark. Mm-hmm. So when these animals see this flash of light, we've determined that they see that as an eye. They receive it as an eye. That's what their sense is. Therefore, they feel they're being watched. And the fight or flight mode of all these animals, these night animals, kicks in, and they will always flee an area unless they're being cornered or they have young with them. So all night animals really share the same deep fear of this flash, and that's why deer and raccoon and coyote and possum and really right up and down the food chain, wild pigs, these animals are all night critters. They're all out there eating and searching for food after dark.
Right. Now for the owls and the hawks, you have to set this up higher, right, I would assume?
You do, and that's one of our important points, is that you want to mount the night guard approximately eye level with the animal that you're trying to repel.
Okay.
So when it comes to owls and hawks, not hawks so much at night. They're more of a daytime critter,
right.
But this turns on at dusk and dawn and flashes through the dawn hours, I should say. So the hawks are pretty active then, because people are still in their homes getting ready for work or whatever, and so they tend to do a lot of killing then. But it is important to get them up 10 feet in the air.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you want to get them up there where they are. Owls, for example, will fly in usually from elsewhere, and they'll tend to land on the lowest limb of a tree before they go in for a kill.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put those lights up there at 10 feet, they'll see these flashes as they approach. And again, it's important really to protect all four sides.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's true, because we do have an owl problem down here. I think I've seen just about every kind of a predator on my farm. I live in the middle of the woods. There's thousands of acres around me, literally thousands of acres. Across the street from me, there's 3,000-acre patch. So I've got literally every kind of an animal. My neighbor was bothered with a bear a while back. Bear went in and tore down all of her coops and her fence and the whole thing. Now she's got an electric fence out there and the whole deal. And we were talking about this, and I said, well, I'll find out. I said, it says everything, so I said, I'll find out. Of course, the bear's never been back. But
yeah, bear absolutely are one of the animals, and where we really have had a lot of testing. And by the way, our testing really comes directly from our customers. They're our best testimonials. They're the best testing power that we have for this product. And many of the folks that are into hives with honey and bees, the bears will come in and attack them.
Yes.
And we've been able to successfully repel bear away from these hives.
Uh-huh. And I'll tell you, Jim, there's a lot of people around here that know about your product, and it's really funny because, like I said, they're all saying, well, you try it first.
Let me give them a little comfort here.
Yeah.
We have an ironclad money-back guarantee. If you know, anybody buys our product and tries it, we're a family-owned business. When you call here, you don't get a recording. I'll pick it up, or my wife or my daughter or son. We have other employees too, but we're a family-owned business. We don't want anybody out there to have night guards that aren't helping them in some way. Oftentimes they'll call and say, you know, I can't get this to work right. I still have animals coming in. And we'll visit with them and discover that they either don't have enough of the units, and by that I mean protecting all four sides usually, or they've got them positioned wrong. But absolutely, if folks try these and they don't work for them, we're right here to stand behind them, and we'll refund every penny.
Yeah, I guess it's because you look at it and you go, gee, 1995, this is going to scare away everything.
It seems too cheap.
It does
seem too cheap. And we, Joe, we struggle with that. You know, for years we sold it for $30, $29.95, and we did okay, you know, at that level, but... we've been selling them now. Night guard is 15 years old, so it's not really new, but it's new to a lot of people.
It is.
And that is one of the areas of skepticism, as they say, well, how can it be any good? Well, it is good. We've just been able to make it affordable.
And you got to remember, anybody who has chickens sooner or later is going to have a predator problem. There is just no getting around it. Whether you live in the city or where, you know.
Right, and it's true also of folks with livestock. Coyotes are a difficult animal to – and by the way, people usually aren't interested in harming these predators. They understand that animals are just living their lives.
Right.
So the fact that night guard just repels them is very important to them. It's a non-lethal product. But coyotes are a huge problem, too. And
they're getting to be a problem
even
here in the eastern part of the country.
Pets.
You know, I'm in Boston, And I'm right outside of Boston, and we have coyotes here now, which we never historically had.
Yeah,
so
there are
more places in the country than they ever were before.
Well, they track food. It's always about food, and humans to them means food. So, and if it isn't sheep or calves or some other type of livestock, they're also one of their favorite things to grab, unfortunately, and it terrifies people, is small pets like cats and dogs.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah, it's
now,
a big problem.
In a situation like Joe's, where he's worried about owls as well as raccoons, would he have one mounted at 10 feet and one at, like, 2 feet? Or
well, the ideal situation is really for Joe to have 8 units. And I know people are saying, oh, here we go. He wants us to buy 8. Well, there's a good reason for it. And the reason is, first of all, eye level. You have to remember that. That's the 2 keys to night guard, is to mount them eye level. So that's 10 feet for owls. But it's about 30 inches or 3 feet for raccoon, fox, coyote, and so on. So the ideal situation, and then to protect all 4 sides. So the ideal situation is a post centered in a person's yard, if you're protecting your yard, with 4 of the units at the top and then 4 of them at 30 inches off the ground. These last for years, by the way. You know, this isn't something you're going to have to replace every year.
Okay.
It's about 3 or 4 years on average, and many people get more than that. It's the type of product, because of the design of the solar panel, that it you actually get more mileage out of it if you let it run year-round.
Okay. Now, you center this in the center of your yard, so you don't necessarily get them outside of the coops, sort of thing.
You don't want to. The other way to do it, Joe, is really to put one on each side of the coop. If you're trying to protect just the coop and the runway, then you may want to just put one on each side, centered from corner to corner. In other words, if your run is 50 feet long, including the coop, you'd put it at 25 feet, about 30 inches off the ground, and then facing away. And you do that on each of the 4 sides, remembering that the range of night guard can be several hundreds of yards, up to a quarter mile. If you have a larger area, say you have a 5-acre area that you have pastured poultry in, which is a common customer of ours, is folks that have their chickens out on range, if you will. If it's centered in that 5 acres, you will in all likelihood, and have one facing each of the 4 directions for 4 units, you'll be able to cover that entire 5 acres. It has a tremendous range.
I have to cut you off here. We are out of time.
We always run
out of time. I want to thank you so much. I'm glad you mentioned your website. And folks, we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I am here with Country Joe, Joe Barber.
Hello.
And we have our next guest with us, who is a returning guest, is Pat Foreman, and she is with the Occupy Backyards movement, trying to get chickens in backyards everywhere. Welcome back, Pat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you have a new program out you wanted to tell us all about.
Yeah, it's really a continuing and expanded program. What it is I have a mastermind group, and then we kind of get together and just kind of think how we might be able to do our little part in making the world maybe a little better. Although that's not really what we have to do. But one of the gaps that we found throughout America is that there are about four generations that haven't had any clue about what to do with animal husbandry, and especially chickens. And chickens are they're making a comeback with a vengeance, you might say. I mean, there's so many towns and cities that are changing their laws to allow residents to keep chickens, including Richmond, Virginia, that the state capital here, Virginia, is sending it out.
Yeah, and so we Orlando, put together, Florida, too.
And Orlando, yeah, it's happening all across North America, including Canada. So it's a phenomena, and it hasn't crested yet. And I think it's going to be part of the wave of course, the local foods. So we have a nonprofit that we work with, the Gossamer Foundation, and their mandate is to encourage global sustainability and local foods. That's their mission. Mm-hmm. So we all got together. We've put together about 20 workshops, which eventually will lead to the Master Backyard Chicken Keeper certification, and we have a 2-day intensive. A series of 8 workshops. We're calling it the primary series, and that awards the Backyard Chicken Keeper certification. And the goal of these 8 workshops is not just to raise and keep chickens. I mean, there's a lot of fine material and a lot of workshops out of that, but the even more importantly, how to employ them, how to actually put them to work in garden systems and food production systems, so that local foods can really, really be enabled. And we have a guarantee. We guarantee that after taking this 2-day intensive, the participants will know how to keep and employ chickens to help feed themselves and others for the rest of their life.
Now, how do you take this? Of course, do you take it online or in person?
Well, yes, we're going to be bringing it out online. We did the very first 2-day intensive at State Landing, our first Landing State Park in Virginia Beach, and that was an incredible workshop. We had just wonderful feedback, and we will be doing, I think, a 9-week series once a week online shortly. We've got the go-to training set up, and we're basically ready to go. We just need to have more room.
So how do people get a hold of you? You got a website and the whole deal here?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We got the whole deal.
Okay.
If you just go to www.chickensandyou.com. And the course descriptions are all there. There's a lot of information. It's intended as a really info rich and dense websites. There's the 7 Laws of Urban Chickens are there. We've got the Egg Shed series is on there. You know, egg sheds are so excited, and maybe we could talk about that sometime on a different show. But it's possible, very possible, for a community or a group or a household to be protein self-sufficient with eggs, primarily, and even meat. And it's the numbers aren't that hard. It's not that hard to do. So all these things, we're so excited about this, excited, I have to say,
and ecstatic. That sounds good. You do one on meat chickens also?
Say again?
On meat chickens for raising, you know,
well, the
meat?
Advanced courses do have meat at processing. We've got a course called Girls Got Guts, and it's specifically for women to learn how to do safe, humane, clean, and easy, including halal and kosher processing in their backyard or on small scale units. But we also have a commercial, small scale commercial poultry raising for both chickens and turkeys and layers. So
sounds like you got it all covered here.
Well, we realize that the easiest, most, I guess, healthiest protein is from chickens that, well, one of the most feces, I can't say the most, but one of the most, and it can be all locally raised. And while people are raising these local chickens, they can help build topsoil. You know, the two of the most valuable things on our planet are topsoil and water. And we're losing topsoil the size of Indiana every year due to erosion. I mean, we have enormous, we might even have passed peak soil. So chickens can help remedy that, as well as all the other charms and talents that they bring, and that's why it's so much on chickens. We could build, of course, topsoil with buffaloes or herds of zebra, but who can put those in their backyards, you know?
That's right. It's a lot easier to fit a couple of chickens in an urban backyard than it is to fit even a small pony.
That's right. Plus, the chickens will eat your food waste, and then you take all the yard and the leaves and the garden residues, and you add their manure to that, and bingo, you've got black gold. You have compost and topsoil. So it's just such an elegant, easy cycle. It's just elegant. Nature's elegant.
And of course, as Joe will attest to, it's also a source of evening entertainment.
He will
sit and watch his chickens because they're interesting critters to have around.
Oh, they are. Joe, I'm with you on that. I've spent probably thousands of hours just observing my chickens, and they're constantly entertaining. In the primary series of the Chickens in New Training, we have a whole course called Chicken Whispering. It's Discover the Chicken You Never Knew. And at the end of the course, it's so much fun. Participants do a chicken skit, which means they have their chickens and on their arms. Usually we teach them how to handle them as well. They'd have to do at least four handling things to pass the exam. There's an exam that goes with all this. But they have a chicken skit, and they have a 3 to 5 minute time when it's them and their chicken. And it's amazing how their skills and how much easier they become in such a quick time handling their chickens, so including roosters.
Yeah, including roosters. Oh boy.
Yeah.
There's a whole other variation of chickens right there. I'll tell you.
I was going to say that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could do a whole hour just on roosters
just on
themselves.
Roosters, I guess so.
Oh yeah, roosters are fabulous. I mean, they have their place. It's just their crowing is so loud, and it can be shrilling through the night. But
anybody who's going to get chickens needs to check with their local ordinances, because I know in Newton, the next town over from me, roosters are not permitted. You know, Pat, Joe, I hate to tell you this, but we are out of time.
We're going to have Pat back on.
Yes, we'll have you back on again sometime. Folks, we are all done this week, and Joe, I know we have our catchphrase, and will you say it with me?
Okay, you ready?
Everyone, may the flock be with you all.
I'm a bridge.